Wishing all our listeners and viewers very happy holidays. On November the 11th, 2014, a Navy captain and technician were on a routine daytime patrol mission flying north along the Chilean coast just west of Santiago, and they filmed an unidentified anomalous phenomenon using a state-of-the-art infrared camera system to detect its heat signature. Could this be footage of an actual otherworldly craft, or is there a more terrestrial explanation? Join myself and Neil here on Aliens Explored as we review the footage and get into some heated debate over it.
Aliens Explored is a weekly podcast exploring famous and obscure cases of UFO sightings, alien abductions, and other strange events from both a believing and a skeptical perspective, whilst keeping an open mind. I'm Stu Jackson, a professional actor and amateur ufologist with a particular interest in the crop circle phenomenon. I'll be debating that otherworldly visitations are real. The truth is out there.
And I'm Neil Kelly. I'm a professional actor as well and used to work for the military as an intelligence analyst. I'll be arguing from a more doubtful point of view. I mean, it's all a bit far-fetched, isn't it? Hello, listeners, and welcome back to Aliens Explored, this time for your special Christmas episode. Although the theme isn't particularly Christmassy, but we're looking very Christmassy here. I'm one of your hosts, Neil Kelly.
And I'm your other host, Santa Stew.
Santa Stew, got your Santa hat on, got your Santa background. The most Christmassy background I could find at short notice when I realised this was, oh, we're going to do a Christmas one. So I've got the Aurora Borealis behind me, so it looks like I'm sat out in the cold. When you're tucked up in the warm with your Christmas tree.
Your scarf, you've got your earmuffs on, though.
That is the weird thing about working in this industry, isn't it? When you start doing Christmas things months before Christmas.
Yeah.
You go to shows and you've got to put on Christmas party hats and pull crackers.
Well, yeah, to give the listeners a bit of a peek behind the curtain, because you and I, we're going to be very busy during December, aren't we?
We are indeed, yeah. We both got our commitments.
And creeping into November as well. So we're doing these a little bit in advance. It's still October. We haven't even had Halloween yet.
No, we haven't, but we know that the minute Halloween is over, you know, 1st of November, All Hallows Day, All Saints Day, or
All Hallows Eve?
Halloween is All Hallows Eve, but what's the next day? What's it the eve of? Is it
Day of the Dead?
It's not like the Mexican Day of the Dead, is it? That's in February. That is the day that all the Halloween decorations come down and the Christmas decorations go up. Well, I don't think there is an interlude. If anything, there's an overlap.
I'm usually the one on social media sort of really criticising people for talking about Christmas when we haven't had Halloween. I mean, even in November, although you and I have worked as seasonal characters in November. Mm. But yeah, I think, towards the end of November, okay. But I rarely put up decorations myself. It's just this is not my house. it's presumably somebody else's house. That's just a Zoom background. It's not what my house looks like at all.
Yes, and I'm not really out in the woods in the Arctic Circle.
The magic. That is Zoom. Well, as well as going forward in time, though, to Christmas. In this episode, we're also going back in time, back
not
to
very far back,
2014. Nearly 10 years ago.
Nine years ago. 2014.
It was November 2014. So, yeah, very. So, nearly 11 years then.
Nine years. 9 years. You're in the wrong way. Anyway, we're not here to test our
maths, honestly.
We're here to talk about some footage that was taken by a Chilean military helicopter in 2014 and was released to the public in 2017.
That's correct. Just over 2 years later. Now, the Chilean government, I think, you know, they're absolutely brilliant with this. UAP footage, they're very open about it. Like, you compare that to other nations looking at you, America, and ourselves, Great Britain, where UAP footage taken by military in particular is kept very, very secret and not discussed. Chileans are very open about their UFO investigations, UAP.
Well, you know, the British government is ludicrously secretive. Even compared to my dealings with Americans, they're far more open than we are. I remember working in Army Intelligence, and we had this manual that was classified secret, not to be taken out of the building, the special secure building that we worked in when I was in training. And we had a Canadian NCO attached to us. And I went to see him in his room, and he had that same book on his bookshelf in his bedroom, completely insecure location, and it was classified restricted. Well, restricted is the lowest military classification. For instance, what's on the menu for lunch in the cookhouse every day is restricted. What time morning roll call is restricted information, even though it's the same every day. So, yeah, everything has some theoretical classification, but yeah, it went from secret to restricted just between two nations. Britain is really, really, really secretive. I mean, there's that biographer who wanted to do a biography on Prince Andrew, and the royal family are not subject to freedom of information requests, but he asked anyway, and he just basically, when Prince Andrew was working as a commercial envoy, going to places like Saudi Arabia, because companies that want to deal with Saudi Arabia, they know they're going to be dealing with princes, because everyone in official position in that Saudi Arabia is a prince. So he said, well, we brought our own prince. So he just asked the question. So basically, can we have some details about what he was doing on our behalf for the taxpayer? And he was told, no, that information won't be released until 2065, which, as always, is anything to do with Prince Andrew, suggests there's something to hide about that. That the answer is he didn't do anything very useful, or actually he was he actually hindered negotiations more than he helped them, or whatever. You know, draw your own conclusions. But why are you keeping it secret?
That's my thought.
Anyway, but so yeah, the British government is very secretive. But yeah, the Chileans they made this footage available. And what it is, it's infrared footage of what looks like two blobs joined together, two black blobs in the sky. And then at one point, it releases a long black trail which hangs in the sky.
Yes, the plume.
Yeah, it wasn't visible to the naked eye, only through infrared. And it was at 2 p.m, wasn't it?
Just to clarify, because that could be misinterpreted. The UFO or UAP itself was visible to the naked eye. It's the plume that wasn't.
No, I understand nothing was visible to the naked eye.
Oh, I thought these blobs were.
No, they weren't.
So they show up on the optical. So this
said it's inexplicable objects in the sky. This is a report from the Skeptoid. They're saying it was first spotted on the infrared camera, estimated it was travelling west-northwest and was some 35 to 40 miles away, though they had no instrument readings on it. Local airports also reported no radar contact.
Let's just take it one bit at a time. So,
okay,
you've got the military helicopter who was on manoeuvres, on patrol, in fact, near Santiago, which is the Chilean capital.
Just off the coast, yeah. So we're talking Northern Chile.
The coast. So, yeah, so they were west of Santiago.
Mm-hmm.
This was the 11th of November 2014.
Yeah.
Like I say, military helicopter. They were using some, what was then, very new technology, forward-looking infrared cameras, or what we now call FLIR cams. Now, literally, so in the space of time it's taken since that was like, that was groundbreaking new technology, I can literally, on my iPhone, get an add-on that turns it into a FLIR cam. That's how fast the technology's moved.
Okay.
Now the particular aspect of the infrared element of it is it detects heat, and it can detect heat at a great distance. Like you say, this was estimated to be sort of 35-40 miles away, this object, and it still showed up really clearly as a heat object. Now, that means it was putting out a tremendous amount of heat. And indeed, the fact it showed up as a black, really clear black blob, as it were, that means it was must have been incredibly hot. I haven't found any estimates as to what heat it must have been. But to be detectable at that sort of range, that's not a... it's not a warm object. You wouldn't want to touch it. Let's put it that way.
Okay, but you know, anything you'd find on a fighter plane, it needs to identify and target objects that might be 50 or up to 100 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
So they will fire a missile. I guess they will pick it up on their radar and fire a missile, and the missile will eventually pick up the heat signal and home in on that. So yes, initially... I guess initially a missile is fired blind in the general direction and then relies on its own sensors to pick up a target.
That's as I understand
it. Not necessarily the right target.
Which is how, you know, unfortunate situations do occur. Now, interestingly, though, this particular object, or possibly two objects, it's really hard to tell, did not appear on radar at all.
Yeah.
The helicopter crew tried communicating with it, and by that I can only presume they tried radio contact with it. Did not get a response. But they tracked this thing. They tracked it using their FLIR cam. Now, this FLIR cam, they could switch back to optical, and this is where we have a discrepancy in our reports. No, as I understood it, the object itself was still visible as a glowing orb, or
on the infrared camera, but not to the naked eye.
On the optical version, when they switched it from infrared to optical,
then it vanished. They only had the video footage. I like the way they it's on YouTube and they've set it to music, but that wouldn't
be the Chilean government.
That wouldn't be the Chilean government. No, but let's say it's been released.
Somebody, some YouTuber has put music to it. Yeah. Yeah, well, it definitely, twice, it emits a plume. And again, because this shows up really clearly on the infrared, it's something that is heated. This is out overseas, so it's again, west. So the helicopter was west of Santiago, off the coast. And this is west again, so this is further out to sea. Twice it emits this long plume of... It looks like a bit like a plume of smoke, I suppose, doesn't it?
It looks black on that footage,
which means it's hot.
Yeah. Yeah, and, I guess it was, and, if it's steam, yeah, it probably is. That's been emitted from a jet engine. Then
steam,
yeah, probably.
Or hot gases of some description. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. The object was moving pretty much the same speed as the helicopter. So they know that was 130 knots. Now, oh, I was going to do a conversion of knots to miles per hour or kilometres per hour.
There's not much difference between knots and miles per hour, is there? I mean, it's a...
Is there not?
I don't think so.
So we're not talking massively high speed. Not for an aircraft.
Yeah, this is what the crew triangulated themselves. But I'm reading all sorts of evidence as to why they got it wrong.
Okay, I'd be interested if it's evidence. I mean, a lot of people claim things as evidence when it's supposition. So always hesitant with the word evidence.
Mm. There's a lot of evidence.
Evidence is facts and statistics.
Yeah.
If the crew noticed it was moving at approximately the same rate as them, I would take that. I can take that. And don't forget, the Chilean government did a 2-year investigation into this, and they themselves have not countered that. They haven't
said, there are flaws with the investigation as well that have been pointed out. First of all, working with the evidence they had the timestamps, GPS track of the helicopter taken from the video, exact log of its time, speed, position throughout its mission, interpretations of all the other data recorded by the infrared camera, including the timestamps, the camera's mode, direction, zoom level. And also, there's a publicly available ADS-B track of a commercial airline, the Iberia Airlines flight IB6830, giving it its time, altitude and position data. And the reason why the airliner fits in is because that according to the time position data, the IB6830 would have occupied the exact position on the helicopter's infrared camera that the UFO did. So when the crew first picked it up, the IB6830 had just completed a northward turn from San Diego Airport and was heading north, gaining altitude. So it was on a roughly parallel course to the helicopter, just a bit further north, but obviously going much faster. But from the perspective of the helicopter, it would have looked like it was going slowly to the west, or was it west-northwest, as they thought. So when they contacted the ground stations for asked for radar contacts, they were told there's nothing there because they were actually looking in the wrong place. What the camera they were using was a close-range camera system used for things like police search and rescue, other applications like surveillance, but say very different from what you'd find on a fighter plane that's used to identify targets a long way away. So there's this suggestion that what they did, they misidentified the location just because they were using the wrong kind of camera. They picked up an aircraft but misidentified it. So ground radar looked at that spot and said, no, there's nothing there. But they would have seen the aircraft, but it wouldn't have been where the crew were saying they saw it. So
basically a passenger jet is what you're saying.
A passenger jet, yeah. And those two blobs are exactly what the engines of a four-engine jet plane would look like. Two engines on each wing, you get two sort of blobs that look sort of slightly close together. And then when you get the contrail, what they're saying is contrails look exactly like that. They show up the same black colour as warm, dense clouds, but they're not constant because fuel-burning aircraft produce water vapour. And if the ambient temperature and humidity are right, that water vapour quickly condenses into a persistent cloud. But atmospheric conditions are never homogeneous, so you get pockets of warm and cool air. So if the conditions are right on the edge, the contrails will stop and start as the aircraft flies through various bubbles of humidity. So it's visible in countless videos of planes leaving contrails. And that's what's being suggested here, is that's what the helicopter crew witnessed. Why couldn't the Chilean committee figure this out for themselves? They say, well, it's...
Well, can I ask some questions?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's going to be one of my questions, but I have some others first.
Okay.
First of all, where is this evidence coming from?
I'm reading a report in the Skeptoid, but it's not. They're not saying it's evidence. They're not producing any evidence. They're just.
You used the word evidence.
Okay, I used the word evidence. Evidence would be you can look at infrared footage of passenger aircraft, and they will look like this.
Okay, does it that? Because
yeah, you get the two sort of blobs.
I don't recall
together,
ever seeing that.
Which will be the engine or two engines on each wing, and the contrails, which will be sporadic because when the conditions are different, they you don't really see a contrail, and then it will fly through a bubble of humidity, and you'll see a contrail.
Because it's not only the engines that get warm; the fuselage itself is warm as well. It has to be, otherwise the people inside would freeze. So why are we not seeing the fuselage?
Well, no, because it's insulated, isn't it? The outside of a plane is freezing.
Okay. Well, let's go on to this. So, like, you know, and it's the really very, very well. Let's hold off on that question just for a moment. Why didn't, if it was just a commercial passenger jet, the Chilean military pilot, I mean, why didn't they identify it as such? Because you'd have thought, yeah, these are highly trained individuals.
You would think, yeah, it's inexcusable for people to be so unfamiliar with common infrared signatures generated by everyday aircraft that they wouldn't have recognised them. But what's hinted at here... first of all, they chose to make the video public by giving it to a UFO author called Leslie Keane, rather than to a well-known and respected newspaper or TV network. She's a career UFO advocate and a firm believer in alien visitation. She was co-author of the infamous New York Times story that supposedly broke the news of the US Navy's ATIP program.
Is infamous your word or the word of the Skeptoid?
The word of the Skeptoid. So... According to the
anonymous troll on the internet.
According to the CEFAA's website, the Chilean Commission for the Study of Unidentified Space Phenomena is a purely civilian amateur UFO group going back some 50 years, based in Santiago. They were friends, like-minded guys, according to this, who liked to meet and talk about aliens and UFOs, very much like amateur UFO groups. The director was Sergio.
Point of view, is it?
Yeah, the director was Sergio Bravo Flores, a local airport meteorologist, who got into it originally because it was the phone number people called when they wanted to report a UFO. So, relatively, basically, what they're saying is this wasn't handed to a committee of experts. It was handed to a bunch of guys who were interested in UFOs. And would just use disregard anything that would suggest otherwise.
Hang on, so because I don't want to go too far down this.
Let me just say this. What this final bit? In conclusion, it wasn't in quotes the Chilean government so much as it was a small group of UFO enthusiasts who examined it.
No, it was a group of scientific experts working for the Chilean government. So, the Skeptoid, is a rabid disinformation website. Now, I'm not saying there isn't a rational explanation for this Chilean UFO, but that is an incredibly, incredibly biased perspective. They gave it to some UFO amateur. No, this is just because somebody studies UFOs does not make them an amateur, does not make them somebody that you can't, you know. And yeah, I think if you're going to release something to the UFO community, releasing it to a UFO expert is a good way of doing it.
You would think releasing it to someone who's used to looking at footage of things in the sky, someone who's an air defence
expert. Like a UFO expert, yes.
Like a UFO, but not someone who's a ufologist, but someone who looks at UFO from the perspective of air defence. There's something in the sky, we need to know what it is.
That's the point. The Chilean government had done that for 2 years. They had air defence experts, military experts, scientific experts, meteorologists looking at this for 2 years and could not come up with a solution.
Yeah, because what it's saying here is actually it wasn't that. It was, you know, they gave it to a UFO for Leslie King.
What I'm suggesting is that what it's saying on the Skeptoid is... I'm going to choose my words very carefully here, is... incorrect.
No, what I'm saying is,
I'm not going to say it's lying bollocks.
It's stuff you can check yourself, isn't it? You can look yourself at infrared footage of a commercial aircraft and see if it looks like that.
That's fair enough. But what I'm saying is, there is a huge amount of spin and emotive language being used from the Skeptoid. They are saying things that are actively incorrect. That are untrue.
They're saying
they're quite notorious for it.
Okay, but you know, people like Leslie Keen are quite notorious for making claims about UFOs that really don't stand up. She's a UFO advocate and
making
a believer,
claims
so...
or putting forward theories, because there is a massive difference there, and a lot of ufologists will put forward theories that people like the Skeptoid will jump on and say, oh, they're saying it's this. No, they're putting forward a theory. There's a world of difference.
Yeah, but this is quite compelling.
We've gone down a rabbit hole here that I really didn't want us to go down.
Okay, so but they're saying...
Let's just move away from the Skeptoid and what they say, because, yeah.
Okay.
I'll share some things with you off air, Neil.
Okay. I mean, they were...
Can we come back to my questions?
Yeah, what's your questions?
So, my questions are, if it was a commercial aircraft, why didn't they respond to the radio communication?
Because if you want to hail a commercial aircraft, you have to hail them directly, quoting their flight number. Otherwise, they'll ignore you.
What if you say... there is a vehicle in this vicinity, respond, you know.
Well, they're going to say...
for safety reasons, they would respond.
They would be talking to ground control. They're constantly in contact with ground control. They're being hailed, not by name, just a general sort of hail, to something which... they've misidentified the location, because they're seeing it through a camera that really isn't designed for that kind of thing. In a helicopter that isn't designed for that kind of thing. Is it the Eurocopter AS532 Cougar? A multi-role helicopter designed for troop transport, medical evacuation and search and rescue. Specifically not a gunship or combat helicopter.
Okay.
So they were just flying up the coastline.
They
so
going into
if you
combat.
Take,
I'd
no, they weren't going into combat, but they also didn't
this.
Have the camera that they were using wasn't designed for spotting things 35 to 40 miles away.
Well, no, it was fairly new technology at the time.
And they had no instrument readings on it, because actually they'd misread where they'd miscalculated where it actually was.
Well, they knew which direction it was in, at least.
They contacted local airports, who also reported no radar contact with any object in the area. However, evidence has been produced of this specific airliner that would have been this Iberian IB6830, would have been exactly where they probably were looking, but thought they were looking somewhere else.
Why was it flying much lower than commercial airlines fly?
It was taking off.
4,000 feet.
It was climbing out of San Diego Airport. So it was, although it was climbing and heading northwards from where the helicopter was, it would have looked like it was flying much more slowly westward. It's just a perspective.
I'm gonna not ask my other question because I suspect I know exactly where it'll go, which would have been, how come the experts, the scientific experts for 2 years for the Chilean government missed this?
Well, I think we covered that.
If it was that obvious, but...
The people that they handed sort to, of. They've got a name here, someone in the Chilean, the team leader. The director was Sergio Bravo Flores, a local airport meteorologist.
But who was on the team? That's, well, there you go.
Haven't got any names or numbers of the teams. What it says here is,
well, the skeptic would deliberately miss those off. But
after
anyway.
A few relatively high-profile UFO cases happened in Chile in the 1990s, another UFO enthusiast, one who happened to be an Air Force officer, lobbied the commander-in-chief to create the CEFAA as part of the DGAC, the Civil Aeronautics General Administration. So it's a small group of ufologists, less than a dozen, and it's not clear if it's a volunteer organisation or what, as they are all listed along with their actual professions, things as desperate as medical doctors and law enforcement.
Okay, I'm gonna put what you just said in a completely different way, that a highly experienced and recognised military official who recognised that there is something to the ufology question... assured the government that it was worthwhile setting up a UFO inquiry committee.
Yeah, because he was personally interested in UFOs.
Well, no, because he recognised the reality of it. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. I'll tell you what, we've reached the end. We don't want to fall out, although Christmas is a time for families falling out. So,
absolutely, yeah.
That's it, but let's put it to our viewers and listeners then. What do you think about the 2014 Chilean UAP video? Is it, as Neil and the Skeptoid say, is it just a commercial jet that was misidentified and the Chilean government didn't really research it? They just chucked some ufologists with no scientific background at it. Or is there more to it? As I claim, let us know what you think via the usual means. You can email us aliensexplored@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook and on Twitter by searching Aliens Explored, and of course on our YouTube channel as well, where you can put comments, and we love reading your comments on our videos, so do get in touch via that way as well. But for now, we'd like to wish you, of course, a very Merry Christmas, wouldn't we, Neil?
We would. Merry Christmas. Goodwill to all men and women and children.
Absolutely. And, of course, happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, happy
holidays,
whatever
as they say
festival.
In the States. Happy holidays. That covers it all.
Happy holidays.
Have a cool Yule.
A cool Yule, indeed. Hoover Yula.
Hoover Yula.
As they say in Finland. Yes, happy holidays indeed. Hope you have a splendid time with your nearest and dearest. And we'll see you one more time this year, just before the new year. And on that time, we will be discussing, I had to check my notes, Brandon Fugel, the owner of Skinwalker Ranch. We'll
the new owner of Skinwalker Ranch.
The new owner of Skinwalker Ranch. So, yes. So, don't miss us for that one. In the meantime, keep watching all these videos. And, of course, keep watching the skies. Take care for now. Merry Christmas.
Catch you next time. Have a very Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.
Aliens Explored is a Fecal Films production in association with Juicy Falls. Music by Darren Mafucci and editing by Stu Jackson. Find us on Twitter or Facebook by searching Aliens Explored, or visit us on aliensexplored.com.